Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. The Yankees rained out again. The Mets wishing they were rained out. The game two in the NBA Finals that went the way that many people expected this series to go after that epic game one. But most importantly, we got the big fella back. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Gio. I wasn't too happy about the weekend series over here at Citi Field. Now, that brings me back to May 23rd because that was the second game that they had lost to the Miami Marlins that weekend at home. It was a Sunday, and they were getting ready to get out of here. And they had a 12-game little piece of their schedule. And you and I talked about that 12-game piece of schedule where we're going to find out who the hell the Mets really are. And, you know, with the $86 to $90 million on the disabled list, it really came true that the Mets aren't much because they went 3-9 through those 12 games. And those 12 games included Atlanta, Milwaukee, and now Chicago. All good teams. Remember we were talking about that?
Of course, yeah.
Let's see what this 12-game set of games brings for the Mets. And it basically brought out the worst in the Mets to the point where yesterday, you know, they're embarrassed with, Javi Baez stealing home plate. And it seems like this season has gone south in a hurry. Now, I don't know if reinforcements are going to be coming fast enough for this. I know that they're talking about Todd Frazier getting back in the lineup. I know they're talking about Cespedes taking some live hitting. Jay Bruce has just been totally anemic offensively. You got Adrian Gonzalez. You got Juan Bautista. I mean, you got a lot of guys that are north of 32 years old that are all basically have been missing in action. And I'm not going to get on Bautista because he just got here and he's actually not been bad.
Yeah, he's been terrible at all. No,
but the point being is that, you know, we talked about this incessantly it feels like it, that when you rely on older players, those older players are going to be MIA for large portions of the seasons, whether they're on the DL or whether they're going to go into a prolonged slump like Jay Bruce has been in. And I think it has a lot to do with the plantar fasciitis that he's dealing with, and he's playing through it, and he's got no choice but to play through it. And I know how debilitating that is personally, and I think that it really is having an adverse effect on him. It's having an adverse effect on him in the batter's box, and it's certainly having an adverse effect on him out in right field. And I could just see, I could watch him when I'm looking at him, and I could see how he looks. So I know that there is a lot of bad stuff going on there, and there's a lot of bad stuff going on over at Citi Field. And I don't care how many proof positive speakers you bring in. And I get what Mickey Callaway is doing. I can appreciate where he finds himself right now. But the fact that he came out yesterday and he said that the players are wilting, essentially, I'm putting words maybe a little bit in his mouth, wilting under the pressure of playing in New York is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anybody that's not dealing with it well, it's probably Mickey Callaway. And he references, you know, this is not Cleveland. Well, I mean, you're really the only guy that came directly from Cleveland. I know Jay Bruce was there, but I mean, he was also here before he was there. So I couldn't believe that he referenced that. It was almost like he was talking about himself, but he was talking about the players because he didn't want to admit that he was the one who was feeling the pressure. And there's no doubt that he is. So that's the thing that scares me the most about where the Mets are, is the fact that I'm looking around for a savior and I got nobody. I mean, you want to tell me Yoenis Cespedes is going to come back off the DL and carry him to the World Series like he did in 2015? Probably not. You're going to tell me that Mickey Callaway is going to push every button correctly and get this team back on track and take him to the playoffs? I mean, he's talking about everybody's wilting under the pressure and having team meetings. That doesn't look like that is a situation that's going to work out. So, I mean, the starting pitching has been pretty damn good. And you look at Jacob DeGrom, he's putting together one of the best seasons a Met pitcher has ever had. He's got four friggin' wins. Steven Matz, seven innings. The guy is spectacular yesterday, except for a blunder where it's a soft toss to first base, of course, the steal of home. But, I mean, the guy pitched great, and you still can't win games. So where is the rallying cry? Where is the savior coming from? It's over. I mean, it feels like it's over for the Mets this year at this point because I can't project.
Here we go again, right? Here we go again.
I can't project the positivity. I can't do
it. The only thing you can say is that, you know, if Cespedes and Frazier get back in the lineup, then somehow, some way, they ignite the team. That's the only thing that you could think of because the starting pitching has been great. And even the bullpen has been really good, too, except for, you know, some guys you've never heard of before that get up there late in games and end up giving up bombs. But it's sad. I feel bad for Mickey Callaway. I do, because when he came here, there was this, you know, panacea of beauty that, you know, you felt like, okay, there's no more cloud on the franchise. Here comes a guy that's going to have a great personality. Here comes a guy that is going to basically do things differently. And he's tried to do things differently, and it hasn't worked. And it hasn't worked really in large part because of, for me, it's the injuries. And you can say whatever you want about, you know, the guys that are playing, whether it be Conforto or Bruce, that, you know, are basically mired in these season-long slumps. But I think it just has to do with more that you have older players. I mean, and I hate doing it, and I know that there are a lot of fans out there that hate when I do it, but I can't help them but do it because, you know, there is the polar opposite that's playing in the Bronx. There is the young, energetic, you know, I got you this game, I got you next game, this guy's got this guy next game, this guy's hitting a home run here, whether it be Andujar or Torres or Stanton or Judge or even Sanchez, who's mired in a slump. You wouldn't even know it. I mean, you know it because if you're a Yankee fan, you're kind of frustrated with where he is right now. But at the end of the day, you're cheering for Andujar. You're cheering for, Brett Gardner. Or you're cheering for this guy or that guy. And it's amazing how when you look at the teams and you stack up the ages of the key players, you know why you see those players the same day in and out for the Yankees and why you have so many guys missing in action for the Mets.
Yeah, and there's only three teams in the National League that have a worse record than the Mets right now. That's where we've gone, in that short order.
There's still about $90 million on the sideline for the Mets.
But Boomer, honestly, Todd Frazier and Yoenis Cespedes, these guys, I mean, they come back. Is it going to be all of a sudden?
Swarzak is coming back. He's close.
Bullpen is so bad. Anthony Swarzak's Band-Aid on it isn't going to help.
Well, but that's one of the reasons why they signed him. One of the reasons why they signed him early on is because he does have a track record. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Of all the bad Met bullpens, what I've seen so far in this last month or so, this could be the worst. Okay. I mean, honestly.
I'm trying to look for some sort of, silver lining. And the silver lining is that, you know, we're right in the beginning of June here. Now, they're dropping like a hot rock. There is no question about that. And are they going to get their guys back fast enough to keep them somewhat relevant? But then it goes back to my initial thought process that there's only one way to rebuild this team. And it's not with 33-year-old right fielders or a 34-year-old, third baseman or, a quad waiting to happen out in left field. It's just not the way to do it. You got to go young. You got to go energetic. You got to find, and I know that's what Omar Manai is in the midst of trying to do right now.
Yeah, it's
going to
take a long time doing it that way.
But there's ways to do it, and those ways come via the trade. And when the trade deadline comes, you better start auctioning off some guys and try to get some guys back in here because, I mean, this is like the future is, it seems to be very bleak.
Yeah, I know there's a couple guys out there that they try to promote, and Peter Alonso is going to be the first baseman of the future. I already heard that with Dom Smith, and now they're already moving him to the outfield because they feel like he's not going to be able to handle it. So, I mean, the farm system, if you just look at all the rankings, and generally with farm systems, these things are, they're evaluated, they're combed over. The people that pay attention are not that far off. It's one of the worst in Major League Baseball. There's three teams that have a worse record than the Mets in the National League. You almost hope. I mean, it's gotten to the point that you almost hope that they fall completely out of it so they're forced into making those decisions. just be forced into making those decisions because this team isn't going to the playoffs.
Now, the question I would have for you, do you trust the guys making those decisions? That's really another, you know, aspect of all of this.
Yeah.
So, I look, at the end of the day, it has turned to be really sour. And I understand what Mickey Callaway is talking about to a certain respect, that his players are not comfortable playing at home because they are hearing it from the fans. And, you know, New York Met fans can be extremely brutal. You know,
I think they're more
players.
Sad now than anything. Seriously.
No, I think
the way I feel about it is like, yeah, like we're angry and we're consistently angry about it, but it's now turning to sad. It's now turning to this is another year where we were excited and now it's falling apart and it's just the same thing. And this is what we've grown to expect from this organization. I mean, you see all these 7-line tailgates and everybody's out there and they're all happy. And then all of a sudden the game falls apart and they're all crestfallen. And I mean, yeah, there's a lot of angry Met fans all the time. But I mean, it's gotten to the point now where it's like you're almost tapped out of anger. It's like, what else can you be screaming about? Because you're saying the same things every single day. The bullpen stinks. The offense stinks. Everybody's hurt. I mean, now it's just sort of turned into the fact that we're sitting here in early June and you don't have a baseball team that you believe is going to get you to July. And that is sad. It's sad, and it's also sad when all your neighbors that are Yankee fans are out there in their brand-new Gleyber Torres jerseys washing their cars,
yeah, that's
right?
True. That's true, yes.
You're planning there where you're going, taking a family to a game, right?
Right.
So now it's not even angry anymore. It's just it's just sad. You just turn. Now you have to turn. You got to find your fun somewhere else.
You know, there is some anger in Yankee land, though, and rightfully so, because ESPN is trying to screw the Yankees. There is no question about this. So, obviously, all the rainouts are piling up for the Yankees, and you got to do doubleheaders and everything else. And before you do doubleheaders, you know, you got to talk to the players. The players got to be all in on that. You know, the management's got to be all in on it. It's not just something that's arbitrarily decided. There's guys that have to agree on things.
Yeah.
So, lo and behold, they get rained out, you know, obviously, on Sunday. And it's disappointing because, you know, they were just hammering the Orioles, and that would have been a nice little 3-game sweep, it would have looked like, right?
Sure.
So they decide they're going to take the rain out, and they're going to have a doubleheader now on Monday, July 9th, down in Baltimore. There'll be a 4:05 and a 7:05 game in Baltimore. That will be the doubleheader. They had a 1 o'clock game on Sunday in Toronto, which this is why the Yankee players agreed to the doubleheader on Monday, okay? We got a 1 o'clock game. We'll get down to Baltimore. We'll get a full night's sleep. We'll have a 4 and a 7 o'clock game or 4 and 8 o'clock game on Monday, and we can handle all that. Well, lo and behold, the folks over there at ESPN decided, guess what? We want to take that Sunday night game in Toronto and make it an 8 o'clock game and put it on ESPN. Why? Well, because that's the night that ESPN is going to have their all-star announcement show. And they want to promo that, and they figure if they got the Yankees, you know, on their broadcast network that night, that that would get more eyes because obviously there are going to be a number of Yankees that are going to be on the all-star team.
Yeah, well, naturally.
So now the Yankees are ticked, and Aaron Boone basically came out and said, hey, let me tell you, we're not playing 3 games in 24 hours because that's what ultimately it would be. And it would also include travel, right?
Yeah, well, it would. Yes, it would include travel. Now, listen to the great JJ at the dock driving in. And me and Fleegs were looking at the schedule. We're looking at the schedule. And there's a perfect game they could put in there for Sunday Night Baseball. And he's right. They need to make this Dodgers-Angels on Sunday Night Baseball. And by the way, if you look, I thought maybe the reason they didn't do it was because of where those teams were traveling.
Yes.
The Dodgers go to San Diego. The Angels are off on Monday. So there you go. It's perfect.
So they're screwing the Yankees. Basically, ESPN right now
is screwing the Yankees, but not intentionally.
Is Major League Baseball even paying attention? So this announcement, by the way, when the players agreed to that doubleheader on Monday, like I said, they had thought that they had a 1 o'clock game the previous Sunday in Toronto. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't doubt that the Yankees basically agreed to this, so they stayed off Sunday Night Baseball in Toronto. I wouldn't be surprised if that's why they did what they did.
Yeah.
That's figuring that there's no way they'll move us to Sunday night if we play a doubleheader on Monday. There's no way they'll do that. And then, of course, they come out and they announce that, yes, we are moving that game to 8 o'clock. And I have to believe, honestly, that Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred have got to step in. It's interesting in the papers this morning. It talks about who is running baseball. Is ESPN running baseball? Or is baseball?
Well, I mean,
baseball?
You know this with the NFL. I mean, the TV networks do have a significant amount of influence on stuff because
some more than others
of the money that they pay in rights fees, and it's a relationship that has to be.
You can't ask a team to play three games in 24 hours and include a late overnight travel. You just can't do it.
Well, the other
part, if that game goes into extra innings.
Well, I know. Well, the other part about this is not Yankees Red Sox. This is not Yankees Astros. This is Yankees Blue Jays, and God knows where the Blue Jays are going to be in July, too. I mean, is this team, anybody even care about the Toronto Blue Jays now? So
doesn't matter. Yankees are getting screwed, man. I cannot believe that ESPN is trying to screw the Yankees this way.
Well, I mean,
what are the Yankees, the New England Patriots these days?
What
are we trying to do here? Trying to, you know, knock them off the rails?
You know, I don't think they're doing it intentionally.
Well, guess what? I'll bet how much you want to bet that they will be told they will move this game, and I think that they probably will take that game out there.
Yeah, well, right now it's funny. I looked at the time. It does have TBD on that one on Sunday, July 18th. It's the only game right now that still has TBD on the time. They have Yankees Blue Jays at 8:05. They do have that locked in.
Sunday, July 8th, I'm talking about.
Sunday, July 8th. Yeah, Sunday, July 8th. I said the 9th. I made a mistake. But it's Sunday, July 8th. It's got TBD on it.
I got ESPN right here, baby.
Well, no, I'm talking about Dodgers Angels. So they haven't set the time on that yet. So it's the only one.
There's no way the Yankees are playing that Sunday night. There's no way. This is where the Yankee power is coming out. You watch.
All right, so who makes the call, though?
Commissioner's going to make the call.
No, I'm saying from the Yankees organization. So
Hal Steinbrenner, hey.
Hal's definitely going to do it.
Guess what?
It's not going to be Levine or Trost or one of those guys.
Trost. We're not playing on Sunday night. Suck it. Drop the mic and get the hell out of there.
And that'll work. Hal Steinbrenner telling Rob Manfred to suck it is going to work.
I'll tell you what, George Steinbrenner would have went haywire.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. I mean, of course he would have. I mean, he would have gone to Major League Baseball, caused a scene, threw papers up in the air, smacked the guy around a little bit, and gotten exactly what he wanted.
Right. So, well, you know, that's going to be obviously a story that will probably now linger for the next couple of days. But I can't see the Yankees playing in Toronto on July 8th on Sunday night. And Aaron Boone, by the way, you know, was a part of that Sunday night broadcast. And even he took a shot at them.
Oh, of course. He said, someone said that you're locked into Sunday night baseball. And he goes, unlock it.
Unlock
it. That's what he said. He went, unlock it.
I love that.
Yep.
You see, Aaron Boone's got to fight for the pinstripes. Now.
Right, of course.
A real boy. Am I a real boy?
Yeah. No. It is Boomer and Geo on the Fan. Still got to get into NBA Finals. Game 2 as the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry run away with it there late. But first, Boomer's got something for you. What's going on, Boomer?
I think Golden State should leave J.R. Smith back in, Golden State. Cleveland should leave J.R. Smith back in San Francisco. Just leave him there. Just don't even show up. Don't even come. Really, honestly. I mean, he was terrible last night. I mean, I thought maybe a bounce back
night.
Game. Well, I know the other day, and we'll get into that, I guess, a little bit. But at the end of the day, you know, he took shots last night in the third quarter. All three shots, I think he took three shots in the third quarter, weren't even close to coming in. And I think those they were turned into either 8 or 9 points on the other end.
Yeah.
And boom, the game was out of hand before you knew it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.